Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
No, man, we're just working through spring practice. I think I said it last week. I'm just super excited to get back out on the field with our guys. I know when we talk in the recruiting process, it's, you know, you're here for education. Well, hell, a part of this is about, you know, playing ball, you know, so it's good to get back to a piece of why they came. And, you know, guys are flying around and they're excited. Obviously get a new offense going in. So, you know, we got some growing pains there. But, you know, defensively, I feel like we've really simplified some things in our first six practices. And it's showing up on tape. You know, just, you know, one thing we don't want to really talk too much about on defense is effort. You know, guys running to the football, and we're doing that. So I'm excited about that. And then, you know, we're getting some good special teams work in. So it's just good to be back in the football environment with these guys. So,
you know, Coach, I have to say, I think that's a great statement, because I know the coach thing to do in a university is to talk about the education part. But you're right. These guys did come here to play football, and they should be dedicated to that as well.
Correct. You know, it's just, you know, if we took a poll, and I want to paint, you know, broad strokes, man, but if we did take a poll and polled our football team, I'd be surprised if a lot of those guys said, hey, I would have came to Hamlin if it wasn't for football. You know what I mean? They came here to play ball. They came here when we got a great education and a great product, great administration, great professors. But a piece of it is they came. That's a big chunk of it was to play ball. So, sometimes I got to be mindful and understand and appreciate that, you know, and love that they're here for that. So that's the fun part for us as coaches, is these guys' eyes light up when we get ready to get out to practice. I mean, we got another one tomorrow, so can't wait.
Well, let's jump into fan questions, and we'll begin with Carrie, who would like to know, is the snow and the delays related to practice because of the snow impacting the mood of the team, or are they just taking it in stride?
Yeah, our one thing we talk about, man, is, you know, standing in the face of adversity, right? Some things you can't control, right? And life is a lot about how you respond to stuff. Sometimes in life you can't control, you know, what happens. You can control your response, right? So the days we had to cancel, we had 2 days that are canceled, we'll make them up. And you just got to go. I mean, we can't control the weather, so we possibly have some weather coming in. Think about this. It's 70 degrees today, 84 tomorrow, 84 the next day. Sunday is going to be 49 degrees, and then with a little chance of snow. So we can't control that. So it's all good. Yeah, so, no, these guys have a good attitude, and they understand the elements, and they know, you know, if it's lightning or if the field we can't go on the field, which we couldn't do last Saturday and Sunday, nothing that was done by us, then we can't go. So it's all good. All good.
Dennis would like to know, are there instances where a player does not participate in spring practices or is ineligible to do so?
Yeah, we have, oh boy, our starting Bandit, which is our weak side safety, is working through a shoulder. But he's in meetings and out at practice every day helping. He's played a lot of football here, man. He's logged shucks. Saw a little bit of time his freshman year, 700 plays his sophomore year, probably close to 700 plays his junior year. So, I mean, we shut him down, and he's just kind of watching. Trying to think. We have – that's probably – and then we got to – yeah, that's probably the only one right now, you know, that has injury and can't participate. But everybody else is participating, so.
You know, Coach, this question made me wonder, what if a guy's playing baseball? Does he still come out to practice?
Great question. We have three of those guys right now. And in my 10 years here, before this year, we probably had two or three football, baseball. This year we got three of them, you know, so that's exciting. Well, I'm glad for those guys to have that experience. But they come out, if we've had six practices, they've participated in three, you know, so the baseball coach is super cool, and I defer to him. You know, I said, you got to get it cleared with your baseball coach if you can come out here and practice. This is not our main season. So the baseball guys will come out, the track guys. Now, we do have six guys in track. Those guys haven't been around because of the running and the wear and tear on their legs. So they have not been around. So, yeah, the baseball guys, they've been around when they can, and the track guys will get them in the fall.
Coach would like to know, do you get ideas for your own team and watching games on TV or even playing against opposing teams?
Absolutely. I'd probably say more so playing against opposing teams. The stuff you see on TV at the Division I level, the NFL level, there's a reason why, right? Those guys are doing some things that possibly we can't do. You know, I was watching something about Alabama. They were running some basic coverages and tying it into the front. And I looked at our defensive line coach, because I sent it to him, and I looked at our D-line coach, and I said, we can't do that up front. You know, we physically can't do what they're doing up front. So I'd say we get more from watching, you know, Bethel versus St. John's or whatever, McAllister versus Augsburg. It's like, oh, okay, this kind of fits in what we do. This is interesting. We can pair it like that. So we probably get more from watching, you know, against our opponents versus, you know, watching something off of TV. So
Isaiah says, Coach, I did not mean to put them down because they were a great school, but it seems like the MIAC has not suffered at all by St. Thomas moving to Division One. Do you feel that that is true as well?
I do. First and foremost, man, you know, for St. Thomas to leave the MIAC to, and go to the Pioneer Football League, which is non-scholarship football, let's make sure everybody understands that, and do what they've done in the last 2 years. I think maybe they won six their first year, and I think they won eight or nine this past fall. That is amazing. I mean, you have to tip your hat to Coach Caruso and the culture they have over there, their program. I mean, it's, you know, I'm going to actually, you know, depending on how many people here, I'm going to try and sneak over to practice and kind of watch those guys next week a little bit. But you got to tip your hat to Coach Caruso. He does a great job, and it shows. To go up there and win that many games lets you know that they belong. The MIAC is doing great. You know, for us to get, since St. Thomas has left, I'd have to go back and check, but I think when they were here, we would get two teams in, but we've gotten two teams in since they left into the big dance at the end, is what everybody's playing for. So the MIAC is fine. You know, St. Thomas is doing great, and the MIAC is doing good. Man, so it worked out for all parties.
Brad would like to know, he says, I know you get into watching the draft, but do you get into all the speculation of where a guy might go or how the rounds will play out, or you just sit back and let things happen as they happen?
Yeah, I mean, again, that's, you know, we're not in those meetings. You know, kind of follow your team, or if there's a guy, like I'm interested to see where the kid from Joey Porter's son who plays for Penn State, right? I've always been a Penn State guy. I like James Franklin. So, you know, a couple of their guys, it's like, man, I wonder where that kid goes, or what do the Eagles do? What do the Vikings do because I'm here? So just little things like that, or what the Steelers do because I'm a big Mike. I follow Mike, Coach Tomlin a lot, you know. So just little things like that, but nothing to a point where I'm studying it, saying, oh, man, they need to take this guy. And this. No, I don't get too deep into that because we have our own issues.
Drew says, play-in in the NBA underway, Coach. How do you like the Timberwolves stacked up against the Lakers?
Oh, man, I was just, it's funny, we were just having a conversation after in our DB's room about the, you know, we got a lot of Minnesota kids, and they're all fired up about it. But, I don't know, man, LeBron James? I mean, how do you go against LeBron James in a one-game tournament? You know, this is do or die. I don't see LeBron James going home. And I'd argue after the turmoil that was on the sideline with, I think it was Rudy Gobert and another player, you know, somebody threw a punch at each other, you know, teammates. I mean, I just think that Timberwolves got a lot going on. If they can, and I think the McDaniels kid might be out with a broken hand. So they're staring down the face. So they got adversity. They're staring down the barrel of adversity right now. So I'm interested really to see how they're going to come out and perform, how much of a distraction their last game was. And then you're going against the King, man. King James is going to be ready to play. You know, I think that game's in L.A., so, I mean, it'll be interesting. That's the game I want to watch to see, not necessarily the score, but how, you know, body language, the demeanor when something goes good for the Timberwolves, how they respond when something goes bad for the Timberwolves, how they respond. I'm interested to watch that tonight.
Our buddy Andre returns and says, the 76ers get the Nets to start. I think this is a really good matchup for Philly. What do you think, Coach?
I do. I mean, again, it's a tournament time now, right? So I'm not sure if the first is the best of five or best of seven, but you know, to pull the Brooklyn Nets, I feel like they've streaked down the end of this thing. So it'll be interesting. And they got Ben Simmons, you know, old Philadelphia great. You know, I know he fell off at the end of his career, but I think he's going to be fired up. So I'm not looking at anything saying, oh, I'm glad we got the Nets. I mean, this could be a dangerous matchup. So we got to come out and Embiid and Harden and Tobias Harris, those guys, and my guy Maxey, them guys we gotta play. You know, we gotta play, man. So it'd be good to sweep these dudes. But again, this is the NBA playoffs, man. The Brooklyn Nets are gonna be ready to play. I can tell you that.
Our buddy Tyler returns as well and says, you have two shorter races sandwiched around the Geico 500 at Talladega a couple weeks from now, Coach. How do you see these races shaking out, and do you see one racer having a big advantage in the 400s as compared to the 500 race?
Great question. And Tyler, thanks for being a return listener and you know, asking questions, man. Appreciate that. And he's starting to get into the Andre's mode of always checking in. Yeah, man. So, you know what? It's going to be interesting. You know, and these guys practice so much with the short track setups, the long track setups. I don't know if there's I can't say there's necessarily going to be one guy. I do know on those longer tracks at Talladega's, the longer mileage. For some reason, those Chevys, they always seem to run really well, man. So it'll be interesting. The dirt track race was really cool last Saturday. I haven't even gotten that far to see what the race is this week. I don't start checking that out until like Thursday, so we'll see. But I know when it gets to Talladega, you know, those Chevys will be ready with Kyle Busch right in the hunt in the thick of that. So
Mary would like to know, how is it that when your first name is Charles that you get the nickname Chip?
Well, that's a fair question, and I will say this. As long as I've been living, I've met two other Charleses, and their nicknames was Chip. One guy was from my neighborhood, which was super, super coincidental, and then we just had one that we're going to graduate. His name is Charles Kent, and they call him Chip, so that's interesting. I can't speak for those guys, but I'll say this, how my name came about. You know, my dad's name is Charles, so my mom didn't want to call us both Charles, and she didn't like Chuck or Chaz, because I asked her this question, how did I get that nickname? So, you know, she didn't like Chuck or Chaz, and she just said, you know what, I'm going to go with Chip. So that's been what I've been called for a very, very, very long time, you know. So there you go.
Mom, she can't go against them. And what are our words of wisdom for this week, Coach?
Words of wisdom, you know what, you know, live every day like it's your last. You know, we talk about out on the football field, at any point, you know, is your one play away from career being over? So you got to go out there and practice. Because, right, we're not playing any games right now. All right, so you got to go out there and practice like this is your last practice. So words of wisdom, you know, just live every day like it's your last because you don't know. You know, you don't know when your circumstance can change. So, you know, try to keep a good attitude and try to be kind to people and live every day like it's your last day. So,
fantastic. Coach Taylor, thanks for joining us this week.
All right, thanks for listening.